You are listening to The Strategy Behind Branding Yourself, a podcast for those looking to tap into their passion, make an impact, and begin building a brand. My name is Precious Price, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining. Hi guys, so we are back with episode 3 of the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast, where we are covering everything related to finding your passion, because that is the first step when you are beginning to brand yourself, is really figuring out who you are, what you do, why you do it, and why you love to do it. It's that spark that's within you. And oftentimes I get into a conversation or a dialogue with people surrounding the difference between your passion and your purpose. And I think that's a very, very, very interesting topic that I'll hit on a little bit today. But really what I want this entire episode to be about is strategies and tactics that you can use and implement today that will help you to identify your passion. So let's get started. So it's been said that your passion is simply what you love doing. It's something that's really for yourself. It pretty much entails your energy and your feelings. And your purpose, on the other hand, is why you love to do what you do. Your purpose is pretty much for others and how you can serve others. And honestly, when I look at these two dynamics, I start to realize that really, your passion is what controls your purpose, because your passion is the fire that is going to light inside of you, that's going to drive you towards fulfilling your purpose. And really, it keeps it focused and it keeps it intact, because your passion, as stated, is your feeling. And we all know how out of control we can become when we solely follow our feelings. But following our passion and fulfilling our purpose in the process is really what brings that holistic view into scope. Now, one of the first ways that you can really begin to identify your passion is identifying the lifestyle that you want very, very clearly. So I feel like a ton of people already do this, but they may not be doing it in the correct fashion. So when I say visualize the lifestyle that you would like, identify the lifestyle that you would like, this does not mean that just because you love swimming, that this is your passion and you should now open a chain of YMCAs. That is not what it is. Maybe this means that you enjoy swimming and being in that environment, and maybe you can just teach others to do so without owning your own YMCA or gym or just swimming pool in general. It's really finding the underlying purpose and why of what you love to do. So it's not just surface level. It's something that's far greater than just surface level, right? So to move on to our next tactic, which is start experimenting with the things that you enjoy doing or things that really just spark your interest. So to give a story surrounding this, back when I was in college during my undergraduate degree, when I was completing my undergraduate degree, I started out as a marketing, professional sales, and entrepreneurship and corporate innovation major. So that's three different majors, number one. Number two, it's a complete mouthful, I know, but I had no idea what I wanted to do or why I wanted to do it. It was just something that I said, hey, that's marketing sparks my interest because I like people. Professional sales just sounds cool. And entrepreneurship and corporate innovation, I'll try out, just because I know eventually I'd like to own my own business. And through declaring those majors or just having that intent and really beginning to experiment with the different classes that are offered on my university's campus that relate to those majors, and even furthermore, the different organizations that I can join that will give me that experience, further helped me really identify and nail down the majors that I actually graduated with. So to touch on a little more with the professional sales aspect, following my sophomore year, I ended up doing an internship at
a organization in Cleveland, Ohio, and it was a sales internship. Now, initially, I thought that I would love it. I thought that it was the perfect experience to get my foot into the door in sales, and it was going to be a great way for me to network with people and then meet those in the sales industry. Now, I actually ended up hating this internship. Absolutely hated it. Sales was not for me, which is something that I realized, but then I also then understood that, hey, sales isn't necessarily something that I like or enjoy doing. Now, there are some underlying sort of tactics or ways within sales that I really enjoy or that I'm good at, I'm skilled at, but this isn't necessarily something that I feel like I can do for the rest of my life. And that, for me, was so eye-opening because, number one, now I can drop one of the majors, one of the three majors that I thought I was going to graduate with. And number two, I now understand or knocked off at least one of the things or one of the majors that I felt like I was interested in, but I didn't necessarily know whether or not it was the right path for me. And what I want to touch on with this is that we somewhat look at aha moments as only being positive. So let me explain. Aha moments we look at now as, aha, this is what I want to do. It's dawned on me and my passion has fallen directly into my lap and I now know my life's purpose. That's what we look at as an aha moment. We look at it as some grandiose ideal that's going to happen and it's going to snap us back into what we're meant to be out of our dream and into our reality, and really it's going to merge the two. But this is not always what an aha moment looks like. You have your smaller aha moments that may look like, aha, this is not what I want to do. Aha, this is what I do not enjoy. I don't want to do this. Those experiences are two aha moments. They are just a little bit smaller, but they're conducted in a different fashion. And you have to look at each and every experience and each and every situation that you've been in and analyze it and figure out what was the aha moment within that particular experience. What was the realization or lesson learned that you identified from there? Because when you realize that, aha, this is definitely not for me, you can now even more align with your passion because now you've knocked off one of the things on your list and you can more effectively drive your actions toward the other things that you really think that you want to do. And then furthermore, going back to our first point, beginning and continuing to experiment with everything that you feel like sparks your interest. So really, I want to ask a teaser question for you. I'd like you to seriously consider and think about what you give people advice on. And this isn't necessarily unsolicited advice, not something that you just go up to someone and say, but what do people seek you out for guidance on? Because this is what you're going to, it's what's going to help you identify what you truly love to do and then also what you're good at. Because both of these aspects must overline. They must overlap, excuse me. So really, you have to identify what people come to you for, what your friends, your family, best friends, siblings, what do they come to you for advice on? And furthermore, what do you enjoy giving them advice on? That, at the intersection of those two aspects, is a great place to start when working to identify your passion and walk within your purpose. Now, one of my most favorite tactics that I enjoy telling people or offering advice to them on is getting out of your comfort zone. So it was only through getting out of my own comfort zone that I really identified one of my very few passions. So during my sophomore year, after realizing that I did not enjoy professional sales, I then took a technology class. Now, growing up, I was not necessarily the most tech-savvy person. I enjoyed playing on the computer. I enjoyed playing on social media. And I even recall way back when, during MySpace days, to where I would be coding my own page so that I could design it, add the music, and make it look exactly how I wanted it to look. That's insane that we were experimenting with technology and coding way back when, right? But through taking that technology course during my undergraduate career and really starting to step outside of my comfort zone and say, hey, you know what? I'm unsure of it, but I'll try it. That is where I identified not only what I was good at, but what I enjoyed doing. Because we also have to understand that at times when we think we don't enjoy a certain thing, it's only because we don't necessarily understand everything that it entails. When people spoke to me about technology, I'd simply think about putting together and breaking apart a computer. That's it. That's all I thought technology was. I didn't understand that it was also digital marketing. It was also social media. It's also coding and building websites, and not just the back end and putting your head down and on a computer typing away coding for the rest of your life. That's not necessarily what every aspect of the field of technology looks like. And it was only through stepping outside of my comfort zone, as stated, that I really got to understand that on the most high level. Just stepping outside of my comfort zone and fully embracing the various aspects of maybe what I'm unsure of, but then also what I think I'm extra sure of, and putting a little more effort in to make sure that, okay, this is definitely what I want to do. Getting out of your comfort zone is one of the easiest ways to begin your rapid growth. Because what I want you to understand is that you, for the most part throughout our lives, we have a box that's surrounding us. A small box. If you stand up, you just draw a small box around your feet. And it's almost like throughout your life, for the most part, that box walks through the journey of life with you. And we stay inside that box. It's where we're comfortable, right? Like we may have a blanket in the box, a cup of tea, and we're chilling inside that box. Inside that box that is also known as our comfort zone. It's where we just can be ourselves. But it's only when you step outside of that box and step outside of what you currently are doing and what you know, and step into something that you're uncertain about, that you can begin that growth. Because it is directly outside of your comfort zone that you'll find everything that you're looking for. And I kid you not, guys, I have no way to even drill this down further, because it's something that you just have to take a leap on and do. Now, stepping out of your comfort zone isn't just going to try to sort of pursue or research a career that you may or may not be interested in. Stepping out of your comfort zone is also taking small steps throughout your day so that you can do things that you would not necessarily do on a normal day. So if you're an introvert, maybe this is just sparking a conversation at least once a day with a stranger and just saying, giving them a compliment or just saying hi. That too is just stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that small piece, that small action you take is going to reap very big dividend in return, because then you are now growing. You are no longer just an introverted person once you continue to do that and make it something that's very habitual, because now you can spark a conversation with anyone come 3 to 4 weeks down the line. All of it helps. But definitely stepping outside of your comfort zone is what will help you to really identify that passion. So one last aspect that I'd like to touch on with discovering your passion or just finding out who you are is a concept that I recently discovered by Elizabeth Gilbert. And it's the jackhammer versus the hummingbird, and how in life, some of us are jackhammers and some of us are hummingbirds. So let me explain. Jackhammers, which most of us are people who are very focused. They're drivers. They're a little bit obsessive with finding out who they are. And I am not ashamed to say that I am very much a jackhammer. I go after what I want. Sometimes I can be very loud, not literally, but figuratively, with who I am and who I'd like to be. Now, on the other hand, there are those who are hummingbirds. And honestly, we should try to overlap the hummingbird and the jackhammer. But there are those who are hummingbirds. And those hummingbirds are people who may move from tree to tree, or rather experience to experience, and trying out different things. But along the way, they are creating sort of an incredible life for themselves, an incredible experience, because they are trying new things. But then they are also what Elizabeth Gilbert describes as cross-pollinating everything that they come in contact with. So like a hummingbird, from one flower or one experience, you are taking those transferable skills, that transferable knowledge, and bringing it to the next experience that you are now going to and walking in. And really, this allows you to continue to learn, but then it also allows you to feed that constant curiosity that at times many of us lack once we become older adults. It's known that children are very, very, very curious. They're so curious. And as we grow older, we tend to start to have a self-consciousness about us. We start to have a fear of embarrassment, a fear of not knowing. And this in turn diminishes our level of curiosity. If you're interested a little bit more in that specific topic, I actually have an older episode where I touch on how curiosity fuels decision making. So I definitely think that you should check it out. However, with the jackhammer versus the hummingbird, really the point of all of this is understanding that it really may not be just about finding your passion. Finding your passion can seem like a very heavy or hard task to do. But rather, when you just force yourself or be intentional about following your curiosity instead, following what piques your interest, following what you just like to do, or what has that spark or creates a spark within you, you may then be able to be led to your passion and then furthermore align with your purpose. So it's all about understanding that you may or may not have to be intentional about this. Being intentional about following your passion is just one way to actually figure it out, but being intentional about following your curiosity is something that will eventually lead you to your passion. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. If you love this episode, please go on your social media and share, subscribe, and review. Let me know you're listening by tagging me at Precious C. Price. That's at PreciousCPrice. I can't wait to chat with you guys. So I'll be sure to link Elizabeth Gilbert's video regarding the hummingbird and jackhammer example within the show's comments and notes. So be sure to check it out. If you have any other tactics or tips on ways that students or people in general, whether older or younger, can identify their passion, let me know. Shoot me a message on Instagram, maybe LinkedIn, and we can chat about it. Or even leave a comment on this show in this episode. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say.